Live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas, it's Cofield and Company.
5 o'clock hours here. A little abbreviated today. We got the NBA coming up. Finals, game one, Mavs. And the Celtics. Celtics 6.5. Total 217.5. It's a 5:30 tip. This is a great setting. The sun will get a little lower in a little bit. This place gets all lit up with a 143-foot screen at Stadium Swim, Circa Las Vegas. Awesome spot to watch the game. If you don't want to be outside, then, of course, you go inside. It'll be on all the TVs inside. And the biggins with, is it 78,000? No. 78 million? 78 million pixels. Millions and millions around the world. 78 million pixels to watch NBA Finals game number one. We're going to get to our picks for the NBA. We're going to talk more about Lakers rumors out today that J.J. Redick is in the mix. Now Dan Hurley from UConn is in the coaching mix. But a couple of things from earlier in the show, and actually yesterday's show. So, you know, we have a habit on this show of speaking about folks who are viewed as real athletes, right, who played professional sports, but also pointing out that every professional sports athlete isn't good at every sport, right? Sometimes the hand-eye isn't there. Sometimes they simply have never tried that sport, and it's a disaster, right? We've seen Barkley with his golf swing. We've seen multiple people, basketball and football players, try to simply throw out a first pitch, and it's horrific. Now, on the flip side, there are also basketball players and football players and baseball players who, you know, when they were in high school, like anything and any team you needed them on, they could have done and been one of the best players on the team. How often is the shortstop, the quarterback, and also the point guard, right? So yesterday I was having some fun. I was talking about our good buddy, Caleb Herring, who's in his early 30s, played quarterback at UNLV, played high school basketball, and he made a comment about athleticism and that, and I said to him, I'm like, I think even at my age I could cross you over. And he was like, oh, right? And then Danny Smythe from the morning show, from Pressbox, jumped in. He's like, we need to have three-on-three with the Pressbox and Cofield and Company. And I was like, yeah, okay. Yeah, Cofield and Company will be represented by Griffin, who's running the board now. He's 6'5 and 240. Caleb at 6'4 and Curtis Terry at 6'5. They're all part of the show. So, yes, we'll take up that challenge. If I felt like I was in shape enough and I wasn't going to get hurt, I would have no problem, with me, you, and Griffin against Danny, Ed, and Tyler. But here's the thing.
I don't believe Tyler can play.
It won't happen. He says he can. I don't know. Yeah, he plays. He plays enough. He's got to be decent.
When does he play?
I don't know. I think he plays pickup on a pretty regular basis, I think.
I don't buy it, but okay.
So my point about there are athletes. I mean, these guys are, they're professional athletes. They're freakazoid human beings. I didn't really get to watch a lot of McAfee the last couple of days, but I know they're doing their show live from some soccer tournament.
Yeah, it's like the soccer equivalent of the basketball tournament. So it's a $1 million soccer tournament.
Okay, I saw J.J. Watt out there, who was on the show earlier, and then I saw McAfee. And then my logic would tell me, well, McAfee's punter kicker, he's probably played a lot of soccer. Was he really good at soccer?
I believe he moved to Europe as a child to play semi-professional soccer on a track to be a pro soccer player.
Okay, so he can play.
Yeah.
And then when I watch him running around, and they're both big guys, especially J.J. Watt, to see someone who's 6'6", 300 on a soccer field and moving and trying headers and stuff, you're like, oh, my God, that would be tough.
And J.J. Watt, took out the goalie.
Yeah.
Just ran him over.
Well, they sent a header his way, and the goalie, who looked like he was probably my size but, 50 pounds lighter, is trying to, go in the air. And, Watt just crushed him. He didn't get his head on the ball. But that's watching those guys is impressive. They're great athletes.
Yeah, no question. And McAfee had a pretty sick cross. I mean, the finish is what took – there was a guy that just leaping, kind of like scissor kick going forward. It was a pretty impressive finish.
Okay.
But the cross was right there.
So you and I have been talking about that's a good televised radio show because they're out and about and – they've got a lot of visuals and a lot of people on video. You and I have been talking a lot about these. You have about 7 weeks where it's a little more open for you in terms of covering sports where you can actually sit down and watch some TV and not just be on your phone on YouTube. And so we both threw some TV options at each other. And I'm watching some of the stuff you suggested, like tires. Shane Gillis is funny. I saw some stand-up from him. He is funny. And by the way, on the political thing, I don't even know how there's confusion. But and he's a smart guy, you can tell. I told you that, hey, there's a bunch of comedians on a live cooking show with celebrity chef David Chang. And I like David Chang. I don't know what he's like behind, off the camera or whatever. I think that show has had some really funny moments because live TV is the best. Like, sure. You don't know what's going to happen. And then you said to me before the show today, you're like, oh, I gave it a try. I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, it's not good. And I think the concept.
Who was on?
It was Nick Kroll and Mulaney.
Okay, I didn't see that one yet.
Yeah. And so my issue with the show, it's not – I do appreciate it's live because, like, he messed up a couple things that he was trying to cook, which is – that makes it more interesting to me.
Does it every episode.
Right.
Because he's trying to – he's making stuff before and he's making stuff there as he's talking.
But, like, what is supposed to happen on the show? Like, I don't even get it because it's two people waiting to eat a meal, and then he's, like, talking to them, but he's trying to cook, and they're just like, all right, where's our dinner?
Well,
like, what is supposed? I don't know what's supposed to happen. It's not like an interview. Then, it's not like a conversation.
Then Kroll and Mulaney blew it because the show is about the guest, and it almost always comedians. I noticed they just did a recent one with basketball players, Reggie Miller and Mark Jackson, which that could be a disaster.
Sure.
Or Mark Jackson's he's an interesting guy. I don't know what his deal was, but I've watched other ones, dude, where the comedians get in a groove and they take over, and it's funny. I've watched other times where I'm like, whoa, like for 5 minutes, like this ain't working. There's crowd input.
Yeah.
I think real live TV, there's no safety net.
No,
so
I like that.
The concept is cool.
Yeah, I like the concept part. I just think they need to have some more, like something that drives conversation or something more, I feel like, because there is too many dead spots,
yep.
Which is a thing I like about live TV, but they just didn't. They didn't get out of it.
Do you have any interest in when they're talking about the food and how he's making it?
No.
So that's the thing you miss out on. If you don't have I have interest in that.
Yeah.
I don't know why, because I'm never going to cook that stuff. Maybe I will someday, but I have interest in that. I've gotten wacky with cooking shows, and if someone just videoed me, because I watch it like because I watch a lot of cooking competition shows, you know. It used to be Chopped or like Top Chef. I just found one called Chow House. Chow, like Italian chow.
Sure.
And they have these chefs go to Italy, and they're in a competition. First of all, the competition is one of the best in terms of rules I've ever seen, because they actually they play teams up until the very end, and the losing team gets to vote one of their teammates off. So not only are you trying to cook, but you better play nice, and then you got to watch what you say about people. You better watch. And they sit there. Each team will eat the other team's food, and then they'll grade the food. So, like, you could say something in competition 3 that someone remembers that you said about their food in competition 6, and then you're on their team and you lost, and that person's like, oh, okay. Oh, you look like my shrimp on competition 3. Okay. It's great. But the thing is, as I watch, I'm a complete idiot. I'm just like, not rice! What are you doing with the rice? The risotto. It's like the risotto. You got to tap the bottom of the pan. Like, but it's just stuff I've heard. So now I think I sound like an expert. I can't cook, not at that level.
It's fair.
I'm just like, what am I talking about? Every once in a while, I mean, honestly, what we do. There's a lot of time. I go home after the show sometimes here, and I'm like, what was? Who am I to even say that about some great athlete? You got to check yourself every once in a while.
Sure.
Okay. Now,
the one thing about that they did have that was somewhat interesting is, in that episode, Chang's first restaurant apparently was right near, I believe it was right near the Comedy Cellar in New York, and so Mulaney and Nick Kroll were kind of talking about how they were some of the first customers because they would just kind of walk over after shows, and he was open till like 4 a.m.
I think that's neat too that these guys run in the same circles.
Yeah,
a lot of them. Yeah. I told you Bill Simmons was on. I'm not a big Bill Simmons fan. He's got his legion. It was him, and that was the show that Kreischer was on, and they're all friends, and I guess they've broken bread before. To me, the show has the concept. It's almost like doing it cooking, it's almost like a bartender with like three people they're friendly with talking sports. It might be boring as hell.
Yeah.
But it also might turn into, like, you know, some screaming match.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, and apparently Nick Kroll has cooked for David Chang.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that was. Yeah, I told you Bill Simmons brought in some, like, some Italian food, which I didn't know he was half Italian. Some Italian food that his mom made and passed it down to him. And who else was on? Terry Crews was on, and he brought him some dessert. And then I think they were kind of lying, but he had some, like, preserves he poured out, and they're like, oh, my God, this is great. But I even think that, talk about the balls on someone. Would you bring food to a cooking show?
No.
Well, you wouldn't.
No. Well, I'd have to go buy it from the...
Right. Be like, yeah, I made this. Yeah. Oh, there's a piece of plastic right here, Adam. Like, it looks like you unwrapped this.
That's the only way I would be able to do it. I got recommended an app the other day, by the way.
Okay.
With just a bunch of recipes, and, like, it's supposed to be very easy.
Who did this?
Some friends that were like...
They know you need help?
Like, if you want to cook, like, this app, literally, it walks you, and I looked at it. Tells you exactly what to buy, exactly how much of it, and then there's a video of how to make it. Like, it could not be easier. And then you can search easy recipes, and I search easy, I open the first one, and I was like, no. No chance.
No shot.
Literally no shot.
At the easiest
literally
one.
No shot. Like, none. It was like you butterfly open a breast of chicken. I'm like, you do what?
You're out. You're out on butterfly.
I was out. Like, what does that even mean?
I get it.
I don't, no shot. So that's not going to happen.
Okay. That one's not that hard a turn.
You would
take the breast and slice it thinly. You're standing up and just make it into two thinner pieces. It's a butterfly, like wings.
That to me, that's not a butterfly.
And I'm sure my explanation for someone to be like, that's terrible. I'm like, okay.
That appeared. That sounds like what it looked like they were trying to do on the video, but I was. No. And then it was like a zest of lemon. I'm like, what on earth is that?
I know.
Well, that's not a measurement of any kind.
You need to watch cooking shows, and then you'd be like, I know what that term is.
No. I'm not going to do that. But here's the problem. I also downloaded the app, and now I'm just getting notifications. Great new recipe. I'm like, stop!
I'm not going to try
stop
it.
Stop this.
It's not going to happen.
No.
Okay, so that all said, do we have any right to sit here and grade – Lakers candidates for the head coach, J.J. Redick, against Dan Hurley? I think we have some qualifications to do that, probably more than watching a cooking show and yelling out, you know, umami! And what? Okay. I don't think Dan Hurley right now is an NBA coach. I don't think his demeanor is of an NBA coach, and I don't think it matches LeBron and AD. And veteran
what
players.
What did he change, though? That's the or does he go in and try to coach like he's coaching UConn?
He comes from one of the greatest basketball coaching families ever.
And they're all the same.
And they all have more of a high school mentality. They're geniuses. I'm trying to think of... I think PJ Carlissimo...
To be fair, I think...
I think I brought it up to PJ Carlissimo about their dad, Bob Hurley, and I said something about, well... You know, they really weren't an offensive program that he coached in high school. And he kind of looked at him and he's like, without saying it, he's like, you're a moron. The dad is a genius offensively as well.
He did. I think he did call you a moron.
But I don't think he did. But the look was you're a moron.
Then you choked him.
No. Wouldn't that would be unbelievable, wouldn't it? The end of my career is choking. Someone choked PJ for the second time.
It'd be great.
Sorry, I couldn't resist. Now, Latrell. I understand.
I feel you, bro.
No, PJ is a sweetheart. You said they all coach the same. They're authoritarian.
Yeah.
They're yellers or screamers.
Now, I will say Dan,
now,
Dan's not the same coach he was at Rhode Island. Rhode Island, he was out of control.
Right. But he's still out of control in certain regards.
Not as bad.
I don't know if he's ready from a demeanor standpoint. I mean, if I had to pick one or the other, I'm picking J.J. Redick. He's a pro guy. He's an NBA guy.
True.
And he played in the NBA. And I know that sounds stupid, but I think right away comes some legitimacy. Now, if you want to tell me, hey, how about this? Neither. Okay.
Yeah.
Then start running by other candidates. But if it's one or the other.
Well, I think it's a fair thought. I mean, yeah. I know. I've never agreed with it, and especially I'm coming from more of a football perspective. Like, a lot of the Raiders players have been saying that they're, you know, one of the differences that's made it better this year is that so many of their assistants now are former players, and that they, you know, relate to them better, and the messaging is better because it's guys that have done it. And I've never really agreed with that. I think in football especially, it's more X's and O's and learning your craft and that sort of thing. But the players are responding to it, and I think it's probably somewhat similar in the basketball world of, hey, this is a guy that's done it. We've seen him. Like, this isn't even a guy that did it 40 years ago. Like, this is a guy that a lot of us have played with. So, I mean, there could be some of that that they could respond to, but I don't think it's the be-all, end-all, you know, decision-maker in terms of somebody's success or not.
Why the Lakers for Hurley? Positives. In spite of people who crack on LeBron, you are getting a chance to coach one of the greatest players of the history of the NBA down the stretch.
And his son.
That's going to be a negative that I'm going to bring up. Another positive, you could be the guy who, again, brings the Lakers back. Third positive, it's the Lakers. We're talking about the Lakers coaching position on the first day of the NBA Finals. Their brand is as big or bigger than anything in the NBA. Fourth positive, you could be talking about, now this is crazy because Jeannie Buss has never consistently done this, but what are we talking about here? 5 years, $75 million?
Yeah, I feel like his contract right now is not very big.
My guess would be that he got bumped to about $7 or $8 million. I don't think he's up like at the top.
Because he was making like 5.6 or something.
Last positive, you're not recruiting anymore. And you're not portaling anymore.
Yeah.
And really, in college at the highest level, you have a new team almost every year. Now, negatives? There's a ton of pressure. He has a job for life at UConn.
Yeah.
And no one busts his chops. He doesn't have to deal with any media. Everything he does is gravy from here on out. They've got a system in place where they can pay for players, you know, and be amongst the top 20 programs in the country. And the other factor is, and I can't wait until this turns into a debate, I believe Hurley never considered Kentucky because it's Kentucky.
Yeah.
And I don't mean the pressure. I mean it's in Kentucky.
Yeah.
And when he's like, oh, I got to ask my wife, I'm guessing his wife is like, no. Now, L.A., ain't Kentucky.
That's very true.
So I think I gave like six positives on the Lakers side and like four on the UConn side. So I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know what their offer is going to be. It better be monstrous. Or maybe this is all a big game and JJ Redick was getting a little froggy and they're like, JJ, you're not Pat Riley, even though we're trying to sell you as Pat Riley. Like, we'll give you a deal, but like, don't overplay the hand, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I think all those are true. By the way, I was just thrown off because I would say you probably don't have much rooting interest in the softball World Series. But my guess is that you're going to be a massive Texas fan. You're going to love their pitcher. That's for sure.
I know where you're going. I know what you're putting down here.
She's your favorite player, for sure.
Actually, my school has a slugger. I'll have to show you the video after the show who's my favorite player. My style, I'll say
I don't
that.
Know.
Really?
I don't know.
You think this woman outpaces the woman I'm suggesting?
Okay. No, but I think she's terrifying.
Okay. I might be in. You know what? Screw it. We're off. We're going off.
I'm not standing in the batter's box.
We're going to hand it off to ESPN National around 525, 526. So, the finals. I think the Celtics are going to win. I think this price is pretty good. For the series, I'm going to put something small on the series price and actually hope that the Celtics lose game one so I can bet it back for a lower series price. Sides, I think we've talked about this a lot. In the NBA, I don't really play sides pregame. In game, maybe. But right now, I'm more interested in the series. I think the Celtics will win it in six. This is going to sound very cheesy, but Tatum and Brown are awesome. This is their year. Dallas has been playing well. I think they'll find a way, the Celtics defense, to slow down Luka a little bit. I just don't know that the supporting cast for Dallas can match what some of the supporting cast can do for the Celtics, and especially defensively. I don't think Dallas is a great defensive team. They've stepped it up, but I don't think they're a great defensive team.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. Now, I don't know if it's going to change your thought or your strategy on how to approach the series. It looks like Porzingis just got like a Willis Reed-like welcome to the floor.
I like that.
Like, that's going to inspire everyone.
I told you 2 hours ago when we were talking to Curtis Terry, I think he'll be a slight help here or there. Do you think he was lying the other day when someone came right out in the press conference and they're like, are you ready to go? Are you 100%? He's like, good question. And then he paused and he's like, I don't know. Is he sandbagging it?
Maybe. Who knows? I mean, we'll see what he likes when he gets out there, what he looks like when he gets out there. But the other factor is, it is Bill Walton tribute night. They've all got the shirts on. Crowd's going nuts for him. Like, those things sometimes, not that you need any motivation.
It's funny. I picked the Celtics. I'm talking down Porzingis. What I'm hoping is that he plays a role, but they realize that at times he shouldn't be out there and that they're fine. So you're saying in game one, there's some factors here where maybe they can stretch this out and win pretty easily?
Maybe, or, you know, sometimes that emotion works against you. Who knows? But just something to consider, that there is obviously some inspiration going out of the building right now.
Bill Walton night.
Yeah.
Was Bill Walton on an 83-84 team that you said would walk off the floor for the Celtics if they had to face Luka?
Yes.
It's like, by the way, I like that you picked that team. It's like, it's arguably a top 10 team in the history.
For their time.
You did it strategically.
For their time.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not going to. Like I've told you a million times, I would argue that the best of the best in the 80s can compete with today's players. Can players 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 on the roster compete? No.
No.
I think they'd be in over their head, but I think the greats would be fine.
By the way, since you posted that the other day, people have been going nuts to me about it, mostly in person, which is wild. But I was in a pretty heated argument about it with somebody.
Really?
And I just said, look, I'm sorry you don't believe in evolution. I'm sorry. Like, if you want to concede that evolution's a thing,
yeah,
then you're going to lose because that's a thing. It's a real thing.
Right.
Sorry. This is not about athleticism or basketball or skills. It's whether you believe in evolution or not is the argument. I do. But what somebody said is, look, I was courtside for many of those games. And I'm courtside many times now. There is not a significant difference in athleticism. They don't jump higher. They don't run faster. They just don't. So I looked it up. There's actually a study from 1998 to 2013. How much do you think the average vertical increased among the average NBA player?
I don't know. A tenth of an inch.
It's almost 6 inches.
What?
So I said back to this person, you, in your mind, don't see a difference. That's the problem.
That's you.
100%, irrefutably, a difference. That's where you're running into an issue. That's just a fact. So if you don't believe in evolution, that's fine. You can say, well, people don't evolve. I would say look at track and field. Kind of proves it.
Yeah. I don't think you can watch. If your objective that you could watch basketball in the 80s and say there's no difference in athleticism compared to now. And the other thing that's jarring is the players are much bigger.
Yeah.
They just are. Well,
centers are getting smaller.
But more athletic.
But way more athletic.
So what they – because you can say, oh, well, they were bigger back in the day. They were slugs. I mean, I always mention it. Like going to a Nets game as a kid, my dad would take me to Nets games. And I'm watching the Bucks at the time. And, like, their bigs were Paul McKeskey and Randy Brewer. And their offense was, you go stand out at the half-court line, and once we run the offense and go downhill, run in and try to get an offensive rebound. Yeah. They're like, just get the hell out of the way.
Yeah.
You're not going to win this argument. You know that. NBA is a back-in-my-day sport. People are always going to love their stars of the past. They're always going to, you know, old-timers, you know, 80-plus are going to think Bob Cousy only dribbling with his right hand would be fine now. It's just, it wouldn't have. And you know what? Enjoy the basketball. Great series. I think great series on the way. Come on down here. Circa Sports inside. 143-foot screen outside here at Stadium Swim. Thanks to Circa for hosting the show. Griffin, good job. Good setup from Mateo. NBA Finals Game 1 coming up.